podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You started as an RN, caring for one patient at a time, but now you're being called to help more patients more often. By earning your Master's in Nursing Leadership and Healthcare Systems degree online from Grand Canyon University, you could become a leader responsible for staff development and patient care outcomes. What do you think making a difference in healthcare looks like? GCU offers over 175 high-quality online programs like this one. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya, quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
No hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal. Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet-O-Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Fix for me, Jamie Holm. The day after a disappointing defeat in the Champions League to Real Madrid. Tonight, myself, Gav and Shawnee are going to be chatting about the remainder of the season and what we expect to see from the final block of games. And we're also hopefully going to be joined by some of our Discord members who are going to be joining us for a quick chat and some questions. So before we dive into tonight's show, quick shout out to footballprizes.co.uk. This week's prize is a Mo Salah signed and framed Champions League montage, which also includes a replica of the Champions League medal itself. It's $4.95 to enter. There are 66 tickets available and the offer ends next Wednesday. So do go check them out. Gav, Shawnee, I know last night was a tough one to take. We've been talking about it nonstop in the WhatsApp group. Now you've slept on it, Gav. I'll come to you first. How are you feeling about last night's performance and the result?
Very disappointed, Jamie. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, I was thinking today how our priorities just keep switching week on week. You know, I remember going back to three league games ago, Fulham at home, and we looked at the lineup, and I remember me and Shawnee going, he's just giving up the go here. He's giving it up because, like, he doesn't think he has a chance at top four, and he's just going to go through the motions in the league, and he's going to concentrate in the Champions League. And then, you know, they get the win away at Wolves, and they get the win away at Arsenal, and you see a couple of results go their way, and they're 2 points off fourth now. And you're like, oh, no, there's still a good chance. So do we shift back to the league? And now the Champions League looks like a bonus again. And then, the lineup was a bit curious for me. It was a bit of a weird one. I was one of the ones that wouldn't have started Jota. I would have started Firmino. And I can't understand when Naby Keita's in that side. And that's like, you can't say anything about Naby Keita without people having a fucking breakdown. But I couldn't understand. Like, I've watched a team against Arsenal that had loads of energy and a purpose to what they were doing. And they looked like they knew where each other were and stuff. Now, granted, Wijnaldum was in for Milner, and maybe that's, you know, whatever. But Keita in for Thiago was a strange one for me. And the way we played, like, we're actually been talking before we come on air there, no intensity. And Real Madrid, like Shawnee said, Zidane does his homework. He breaks whatever little presses there with just balls to the fullbacks. Now they're hitting diagonals and Cruz is getting on it and having the freedom of Madrid to do what he wanted. And we get a bit of life and we get one back and you're thinking, you know what, you take 2-1 now in the overall scheme of things. But then we can see the third one. So it's a big uphill task now, Jamie. It really is, because we're going back to an empty Anfield and it makes a huge difference. I think personally it makes a huge difference. And the fear that Real Madrid would have had in them of 50,000 going absolutely crazy at Anfield to nobody there, it leaves them very comfortable as to what you have to do. And I can't see us getting through, I'm being honest. And I think the first 45 minutes of that has killed their chances.
Shawnee, of all the heads falling off today in the WhatsApp group, you've probably been one of the more level-headed, I would say. What was your reaction to the performance?
Yeah, I kind of, do you know what, Jamie? Earlier on in the season, I kind of moved the goalpost of expectation for me after what the squad had kind of been through. So I always tried to sleep on results before I gave any sort of thoughts on them. But one thing I don't really understand is that there seems to be a little bit of a how bad were Liverpool last night, not how good were Madrid. Now, I watched the game again today. Don't ask me why, but I just did. I felt like when I was watching it last night that that was a really good game of football for a neutral, especially the second half. And I always try to watch back games after I know the result to see if there's anything that I missed or anything like that. And I just thought Madrid's attention to detail was unbelievable, exceptional to a man. Even Vinicius, who hasn't really done much for Madrid since he signed for them, a couple of big goals here, but a player is always looking to have lack end product, was on it last night. And I just think Zidane really won up Klopp last night. I don't know what Klopp was thinking putting Keita in. I know everyone before the game was turning around and saying he's in there to press, but I would have went with Curtis Jones instead, because he just has played more football. I think throwing Keita into a quarter final like that, when he's not really done anything to warrant any minutes or a big start like that, especially after probably coming off Thiago's best 90 minutes in a Liverpool jersey away at the Emirates, I just thought it was a strange decision by Klopp. And that was compounded because he was hooked at 42 minutes. And from minute one, we looked nervous. And I thought they were a little bit, you could see they were tentative. And then they realised, there's a number, these are there for the taking. And then they kick on. It's hard to explain, Jamie, because like Gav, I echo what Gav says. I think 45 minutes might have just caused us to tie there. Although, when I watched the game back this morning and I see that we get out there,
brave man watching it twice.
when I see that we get out there with an away goal, that there is something to hang on to. Now, although it is going to be an empty Anfield, an early goal changes everything. It doesn't matter if there's 50,000 in the stadium or not. They will need to manage a game if we get an early goal. And look, we know we're capable. I think Klopp got it wrong, and not for the first time this year, he's got it wrong. And I think when we look back at this season, as much as his injuries and everything else have compounded what has been just been a miserable year with desperate unluck, I think when Klopp's had to make big calls, he's got them all wrong.
See, I'm glad you said that, because it kind of leads me on to my next point. And I think for me, I always try to be level-headed about this stuff. I don't want to, you know, overreact. But what I find difficult after last night was, in the first half, it was the lack of intensity. Gav alluded to it at the start. Our inability to keep the ball. And off the back of what you just said there, Shawnee, our best ball player, the guy who was brought in at an elite level to help us keep the ball, was on the bench. There was no pressing. And Gav, I'll come to you. When you look at the likes of the Chelsea game, if you look at the likes of the Leeds game, there's been so, Aston Villa is another one, there's been so many games where we've played in this way. It's like we haven't learned the lessons. We're not pressing from the front, yet we insist with the high line, which makes it very easy for teams to clip a ball over the top and we're getting exposed. Is that not a frustrating thing, that we're going into a game having come up against this type of challenge before, in that, you know, teams might look to go direct? It doesn't seem like we've learned our lessons at all.
Yeah, it's been a recurring feature, hasn't it, this season? You know, like Sean even mentioned there before we come on, Leeds at home. You know, the first goal we can see it is Jack Harrison, I think, and it's one of those balls over the back because there's no pressure on the ball. You know, and Chris Prosser in the chat there says our centre-backs were found out last night. Most centre-backs will be found out if they're asked to play a high line and the, you know, whatever, six players directly in front of them aren't doing what they're meant to do. And if you play a high line, and we all know this, it's not rocket science, you know, Jurgen Klopp isn't reinventing the wheel here. When you play a high line, the first thing you need to do is put pressure on the ball. If you don't put pressure on the ball in this sort of game with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric hanging around the gaff, they're just going to go, they're not pressing here. I'm just going to pick up little pockets, and they don't need time. They just need to get it out of their feet, and it's mayhem then. Everything happens. And Trent's come in for a lot because he was being overloaded on that side. But the reason he's being overloaded is because the amount of time they have. You know, if you put pressure on somebody, there might be two players over there, but it can't be pinpoint. It can't be getting your head up and having time to look and expose whatever traps Liverpool are trying to set. But when you don't go and all go together, those traps aren't even half set. So you're in trouble. You know, this is why I would have started Firmino, Because if you don't want the high press, at least drop Firmino off and say, I'm just going to stand on Toni Kroos, or I'm going to stand on Casemiro, or I'm going to stand on Luka Modric. We're not going to press high, but we're going to cut off. There's two ways of doing it. You can press, and just be absolutely all over people. And that causes panic. The availability of hitting pinpoint passes is drastically reduced. Or the second thing is you cut off passing lanes, or you cut off, you know, creativity at source. So if you don't want to go and press, fine, but at least take a forward and go, listen, you just drop in onto whoever's the deepest for them, you just drop in there. Just drop in there and make it, not impossible, but make it difficult for them to get them people on the ball. It forces them wide, then you can press. But that wasn't happening last night. What was happening was their fullbacks were getting loads of time and Toni Kroos was just wandering around going, I don't even know if there's anybody else on this fucking pitch with me. And that's how your centre-halves get exposed, because your centre-halves are trying to hold a high line and looking to, you know, if a ball is hit in haste, they're looking to get on it, win it, and then we win the second ball and then we go from there. But it wasn't happening. Fellas were turning and being able to hit 40 and 50 yard balls straight over the back of them with loads of time, and most centre-halves will be exposed to that. It's simple. That they'll just be exposed.
Jamie, are you 100% agree there with what Gav said? And look, anyone can go away to Madrid and get turned over like that. That's normal. But the fact that Burnley have been doing this to us, Brighton have been doing this to us, Fulham have been doing this to us, like, it's not about just being out of our level last night. There's like a blatant flaw in the squad there that's been exploited, regardless with Van Dijk in the team, Matip, everyone in the team. And that's a systematic thing. And that's the most frustrating thing about this season, regardless of the injuries, is that Klopp has done little or nothing to rectify any of this. Now, don't get me wrong, I sound like I'm bashing Klopp here, but I think he shouldn't have had criticism just because of what he's done in the past. Obviously, he's got credit in the bank, but he's not done enough to shuffle the pack of what he's had. Now, in fairness, he's been dealt a horrible hand because he's not been able to rotate midfielders because he's had to play midfielders in fullback roles. He's not been able to rotate fullbacks because he doesn't want to be putting Nico Williams and Tsimikas into makeshift back fours as it is. So his hands have been kind of tired, but he's done very little to change shape or approach in any game. So it's been the same approach to no matter who we play, and I don't think that's going to get it done. It's grand if you have your forced 11 and you're constantly opposing your game on a team. Like when we play with Van Dijk and Gomez, we're 10 yards higher up the pitch, we're squeezing you there and then, so the press is coming. There's so little room to make. If you want to play that ball over the back, we'll race you all day because Van Dijk and Gomez are rapid. We haven't got the personnel to do that anymore.
Do you think Klopp is
over? So how has he, since October, has he not been able to rectify that issue in a way where he's protecting the players that he has there and playing them to the best of their abilities? Because Trent last night would have been exposed in a way that I've never seen him exposed at Liverpool before, because he was playing against Mendy, who doesn't get the credit. He's one of the best two-way fullbacks you'll ever see in the game at the moment. He's ridiculous going forward and backwards. And not only was he getting bombarded by Vinicius, he had Mendy then bombing on, and he didn't know whether he was coming or he was going. At the end of the day, Trent's not a fullback. We need to be, he's not, he's being deployed there because he's being effective there, but he's not a defensive player. He's more of a maverick. He's put in there because he creates like no one else from there, but he's not really a fullback.
Yeah, but Johnny, this is where this is where your attitude towards going to win the ball or going to put pressure on the ball affects Trent in a big way. Like, I'll put it to you this way. If Mendy is standing on the left-hand side and he sees, geez, every time Modric gets it, you know, Firmino was playing, right? He's on him. Every time Kroos gets it, Wijnaldum is on him. He's not going to creep up that pitch, Johnny, because the chances of the ball being overturned is heightened. So he has to, in his own head, he has to say to himself, I have to watch myself a bit. But as that game develops from 15, 20, 25, whatever way you want to look at it, he's creeping and creeping and creeping with more or less the assurance of nothing's going to come back the other way, because yeah, they're giving us so much time, and the quality of those two lads in the midfield, we can afford to push on here. We're not going to get robbed. And that's how Trent gets overloaded.
Exactly. I agree. And even that he's missing, even though he doesn't play on his side, he's missing a Van Dijk or a Matip and a Henderson as much as anyone, because it's a subconscious thing. Players like Trent play on instinct, and if he's high up the pitch singing them balls, he's doing that full well known, whatever goes on behind me, if Hendo's covering me, if he doesn't get there, well, you have to be Van Dijk one-on-one. And that's the whole idea of the spine. The spine is gone in the team. So that this whole system is gone. The switch of play that they were doing last night, I was green with envy watching it, because this was us for the last 2 years. Trent to Robbo, Robbo to Trent, they were doing it the whole game, and it's a facet of their game that I miss so much, not because it's so aesthetically pleasing, but it's so effective. You're dragging teams all over the place. They had us run ragged last night with that Doyak all over the place. They never bothered going near Asensio. They just literally said, we'll go inside the crease and ping that Doyag, and they'll have to get pulled all the way across. Eventually, they'll be worn out, and we'll just break them down. And we've done that to teams for as long as I can remember in the last two or three seasons. But that's gone now because we haven't got Hendo there allowing Trent to cheat, allowing Salah to cheat, because Salah, he's not like Mane. He's not as... And it's not his job, really. You know, it's not what he's in there to do, but he doesn't give Trent the dig out like you need. So Trent ends up being massively exposed. And you just seen Zidane picking the bones out of it last night. Dean Smith has done it. Bielsa has done it. All of these coaches have done it. And Klopp hasn't been able to rectify it yet. Hasn't been able to turn around and say, well, look, this is how you make it work. There's no plan B in that situation. And that's the frustrating part for me.
Yeah,
right. I'm gonna come to you, Gavin. I'm gonna bring in Kev, one of our Discord members, who's gonna come in and have a little chat with us. Gav, Shawnee said something there which talked about protecting players, and this is something that I'm interested in, because given the personnel we've got missing, is there not a conversation to just say drop 5 yards? Can you imagine, you know, drop that defensive line 5 yards? Because imagine being Phillips and imagine being Kabak, with just space behind you and rapid forwards that want to run in behind. Mm-hmm. Surely if we just drop 5 or 10 yards, it alleviates that pressure. We can deal with the pressing as a separate issue from the front, but surely defensively we'd be a lot more covered. You know, we certainly wouldn't be at risk of being exposed as much as we are if we just drop 5 to 10 yards.
Yeah, look, you make on-the-pitch decisions. Like, we've all played football at certain levels, and you make your own decisions on the pitch at times. And it can go against your manager at times. You know, he might be telling you, stay wide, but, you know, but you think if you can get inside a little bit, you might have more luck in there or more chance of doing stuff. They must be... Listen, Shawnee said, like, Jurgen Klopp isn't exempt from criticism here. And you'd have to think that... Like, when you look at them balls going over the back of us and how high that line is, you have to believe that Klopp, Linders, or whoever else on the side of the pitch is demanding that they stay there. Demanding that they stay there. Because I'm not being funny, Jamie. Me, you, and everybody else could see it last night, right? So, and in anyone rational mind watching that last night, you think, why don't you just drop 5 yards? Just kill that long ball, because that's what they're looking for. So let's kill that. If we're not going to sit someone on Cruz or Casemiro or whatever, or we're not going to press their fullbacks really high, we're going to have to drop. And we're going to have to try let them be absolutely precise in dropping a ball over the back of us. And we've a much smaller space to recover into, rather than 40 yards. You say drop 5 yards, it's not usually 5 yards.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's actually Geico.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico, because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
That's more than that. But what I'm saying is you're taking 20% or 25% out of the area that they can hit and the area you have to cover. So it has to be something that's told by the manager or the people on the sidelines, the coaches and stuff like that. It has to be. Because they must be demanding that. The change he makes is in midfield. And although you feel sorry for the centre-halves and the full-backs at times, it's obviously something in the midfield wasn't working. And Naby Keita was taken off. There's an argument you could have taken any of them off. Naby Keita is the one that's taken off. But the midfield didn't push, and the forwards didn't push, and the biggest losers on it were the back four. But it has to be, Jamie. Like, I'm sorry, you're looking at that last night. There's no way in hell that them defenders, seeing what is happening to them here, aren't staying where they are because it's not under instruction. It's just not happening for me. They are under instruction to stay where they are and hold that line, and that's the way we play. And it's probably a stubbornness in our game at the moment that I agree with you. Drop 5, drop 10, drop 15 or 20, who cares? Because we've said it so many times, Jamie and Shawnee and loads of people and people in our Discord group and people who talk to us in this chat have said it so many times, Liverpool can play any way you want. They can. So what's the harm in saying, you know what, we're away to Real Madrid, let's just sit at our box. Let's sit on the 18-yard line, let them have it. Let them have it. You know what I mean? But let them have it, because if you I'm going to say now that Gini can carry the ball. I'm going to tell you Fabinho has an eye for a pass. You've got Mane, Salah, Jota up front that can cause you all sorts of hassle. So why not just sit?
And even you know then, Gar,
like, it felt like Phillip, a stubbornness to me.
Phillips and Kabak, surely that's more their game. Blocking.
Yeah.
Just outright defending, that's more of their game. It even suit them more. So I don't know. The real reason why I think we haven't done that is because we've seen what happened after Christmas when we were dropped back, when it was Matip and whoever, the mismatch bleeding back fours that we had. Our strikers were 30 yards from goal receiving the ball.
Yeah.
And just inside our own halves most of the time. And we just stopped scoring. So I understand that to a degree. But I see a lot of people saying in the chat, look, it is a well-oiled machine. And when cogs are missing, it's not going to run the same. And I get that. I 100% agree with that. But my issue is we've been missing key components since October. Surely if we're still banging the same drum by now, mismanagement has to come into it somewhere. And then we find ourselves in a top four battle where we're ranked outsiders. You know what I mean? And whether I got to deal with the business that was or wasn't done in January, club hasn't given himself the best chance to maximise the potential of this season by some of the decisions he's made. I just feel that way. And look, people may feel different, maybe feel I'm being hypercritical, but I think he's got an awful lot wrong this year. And that's fair enough. That can happen. The season has been a bleeding dumpster for
you. I don't think you can argue he got a lot of things wrong. But what I would say is that the only positive I was look at this is, you know, and we are critical of him and defensive lines and is he letting them press or not. But the only thing I would say is my hope for it is that he learns from it, you know, and learns from it. And I'm not saying, like, you know, he must learn and he must fucking make all this right. But what I'm saying is if it comes next season and you've all these players back and you've made a few additions, if one does drop out, you go, you know what we done last season. Do you remember that? It was shit. Let's do something different this year. Let's not go completely mental and start putting midfielders at the back. Well, it was kind of necessity. But to learn a little bit and maybe, if it comes around again, I'm not asking for this season again by any means before anybody goes mental. But what I'm saying is if you lose a player, if you lose a Van Dijk for 6 weeks, you say, look, let's not go as drastic as we did. It didn't work for us. Let's change the way we play a little bit because, as Shawnee said, that diagonal is gone now. So let's change around a little bit and try and make the changes as minimal as we can. But at the same time, not being so rigid that we've this game plan and if it doesn't work, we're in trouble. And I'd hope he learns from it.
So talking about making changes, right? It looks like there's a bit of a party brewing here, Gav, because we were going to have Kev O'Sullivan from our Discord group is going to be joining us. So I'm going to bring in Kev. But it also looks like Grizz is joining us as well, which is a lovely surprise.
Yeah.
So I'll add the lads in now.
Go on.
Kev, Grizz, how are we, gents?
Good, Jamie. How are you keeping, mate? You well?
Good.
Grizz, how are you, mate?
I'm not too bad, Kev. Good to see you. I always read your comments, but it's good to see you kind of in person. I had to join the lads today. Last night, I was too down. I was like, literally, people were telling me, like, what was the point of doing the pod? I was that sad and down. And I saw these guys, the best boys' faces, and I thought, I've got to join them for a bit of therapy. Nothing better than therapy with the boys.
No better man.
After, yeah.
So, Kev, what are your thoughts on the game, mate? Have you got any questions for the lads?
Well, I mean, how do you guys see the run-in now with the form that we're in the last 6 weeks? Do you feel, with the away, can we bring the away form home? And what gives you faith in what we have done so far to be able to do that? Would be the one question I'd ask.
Gav, I'll come to you because I suppose one of the points, and Kev makes a great point, is, you know, if you look at the fixtures that we've got throughout the rest of the season, there's a lot of home games and we've only scored one home Premier League goal in 2021, which is a mad stat. That's surely a worry as we go into the running.
It is, but the running is not the worst in the world. I will say that. I go back to what I said earlier. Our priority keeps changing. You know, we were all over the Champions League a couple of weeks ago, and then come Saturday night at 10 o'clock, we're going, oh, we're back in this on the top four. And now this result last night is kind of going, oh, geez, we're going to really have to put it in the league here, because the Champions League is, you know, the odds have gone out in the Champions League, where the odds on the top four have gone in a little bit. The only thing I would say, Kev, is that you call it form, but what fucking sort of form is it? Like, it's been atrocious since late December. We know that. There's been signs of life, you know, winning away at Wolves, winning away at Arsenal. The home form has been terrible. But you just don't know, and I know that sounds a very simplistic thing to say, but you genuinely don't. You don't know what Liverpool team are going to turn up against Villa at the weekend. They could come out and smash Villa all over the place. Then they could end up going down to a drab 1-0. I've said it the last couple of weeks. When Liverpool lose their next game, the top four is gone. And I think Klopp taught that at home to Fulham. I think the two wins following that, Wolves away, Arsenal away, I think have, and the results elsewhere have made them go, oh fuck, no, we're actually still in this. I think the next time we lose a game, Kev, I think the top four is gone. And I think, as I said, the Champions League is an uphill task. I think it's Europa League football next season. That's me being perfectly honest. But what I would say is that when you look at the teams around us, you know, Chelsea unbeaten under Tuchel until they get beaten by West Brom. You know, Leicester, they're on okay form, but I think they're six clear of us, seven clear of us. We're eight, nine games to go. You look around them, West Ham are doing great, but they will have off days. Everton are the same. Spurs are most definitely the same. It's all to play for. It's whoever loses first. I genuinely believe that. I think whoever loses first and loses an advantage that they have, I think it's gone. It could be any of those sides, but I don't see Liverpool doing it. I think the league form is way too patchy, and I can't put my hand on my heart and say Liverpool could go and win. I think they've hit 9 games left, have they? I can't hand on heart say Liverpool will win 7 of them. Not right now.
I think 9 games left. We've won away at Old Trafford. You look at a tough one. We've a nice final 3 games. You'd hope the likes of West Brom will be gone by then. But I look at it and think, oh, we haven't really been played off the park by anyone. No one's battered us. We've been in games and made our own. Even last night.
Shawnee's not agreeing with you there, Kev, I don't think.
They were our own mistakes. Last
I
night
think
was...
Brian Patters.
Especially Brian the third goal. The third goal last night was our own mistake. I mean, to be done by a throw-in set piece was criminal. 2-1 last night wouldn't have been the end of the world. The Brighton game, yeah, fair enough. But in the main, we've been in games. My main problem with us is we've gone from last season having 15, 20, 25 chances. Like, we watched Bayern Munich tonight, 27 attempts on goal. By far the better side, committed to the high line. Fine, they got done by Mbappe on the break.
Yeah.
Happens. We are not committing to the high line in the way we were. Our front four aren't pressing the ball like they normally do. And that's where doubt comes in. Where doubt comes in, and you throw in someone like last night, Kroos, Modric, they'll ping you and they will crucify you. But we're not creating that many chances. Palace, 7-8 shots, 7 goals. You know, we're not even getting into double figures in the amount of chances that we're creating. Madrid last night played us like a fiddle. You want the ball out wide with Trent, cross the ball in, fine. Nacho will eat that up all day long. Will Premier League defenders, Villa at the weekend, Konsa and Mings will be delighted. Trent, you have the ball out there. We'll back ourselves to head the ball away all night long. Klopp could look at playing 4-4-2, play a diamond. Look at the last minute, the rest of the season as a mini 9-game sprint. He can't surely go in with 4-3-3 anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're playing 4-3-3 anyway, because Mane is not playing as a left winger.
Mane's not playing at all.
No, yeah. But Mane is playing centrally.
Yeah.
Mane is playing centrally. And that's taking away from Robertson, because last season, Mane out on the left, Robertson has someone to play 1-2 off to go around a right back with crosses in from behind. Now Robertson is crossing from deep. Trent is crossing from deep. Mo Salah is brilliant, fine. He's a great goal scorer, but his right foot is for standing on. Any half-decent left-back knows how to play him. Turn him in on his left foot, make him go back. We don't have anyone over 5'9", 5'10" in the box to that's going to score headers, unless it's a perfect cross. 1 in 5 will be. You know, 1 goal in 5 games, you might get a perfect cross like Jota did at the weekend. But in general, we're not difficult to play against, and that's my problem.
Exactly. I'd love to see
going into next season as well.
I'd love to see between now and the end of the season, and not in the worst way, but I'd love to see a lineup coming out an hour before the game and going, oh, what's he doing here? And not, oh, Jesus, what's he doing here? Do you get me? I'd like to see Klopp making the opposition think. And I'm with Gav, it's impossible. Like, this season is mad. We could get beaten by 1-0 by Villa on Saturday and go out and beat Madrid 2-0 next Wednesday. Like, you just don't know what way this is going to pan out. And the thing is, a 2-0 will do us next Wednesday. That's the thing. That's the way. People are getting way overawed by the scoreline last night. The away goal was crucial. Well, we're in our rights to go and beat a Madrid side 2-0, because we can do it. But he just has to have balls. He has to go for it. I want to see the front four for every game now between the end of the season. And that's it. Just play Fabinho and Thiago and play the front four and do whatever you have to do and impose their game on other teams instead of sitting back and waiting for teams to do to us. Because that's what we've done. That's what we did last night. We allowed Madrid to... We need to go out and stamp our authority on the next 9 games. And Kev hit the nail on the head perfectly there. It's a sprint. He's got to go for something different. Because if he doesn't, it's just going to be much of a muchness. What's that 9 games left? The way it's going, it'll be 3 wins, 3 draws, 3 losses. Because that's the sort of way we've been going this year. He's got to change it up. If he doesn't do it now, on Wick Gav, we'll be in the Europa next year.
Grizz, I'll come to you. When you look at the sample size of the season and obviously the woes that we've had at home since January, do you feel confident to A, think that we're able to overturn a 2-goal deficit against Real Madrid? And then is there a formula, like Shawnee says, whether it's going with the front four like we did so effectively against Manchester City away and kind of shocked them? I think they retreated 10, 15 yards. They didn't know what to do. Where do you see, you know, the rest of this season kind of panning out, and what side would you like to see him go with?
Cup finals. And I mean that literally, cup finals. Exactly what Gav said, in terms of you've got to go out with the mentality of it's a cup final. We've got to win this in 90 minutes. The first time we drop points, the top four is over. I mean, it is. I'd say the first loss that we encounter in the league, as Gav says, that's your league title, top four race over. It's got to be front four, because I think, and we've discussed it to death, and there's no point discussing anymore because of the state of the injuries, and it never happened, but we were destined to play a different style this season, which included many games with the front four up top. But even that, Jamie, the front four, what is our front four at the moment? Because I don't think Mane is deserving of a place in this team at the moment. And it hurts me to say this because he's my favorite forward out of all of them, probably. But he's not deserving of a place on current form. But maybe that changes if you play all four of them, because the times we have played all four of them in recent games, in patches or in games, he's looked livelier. Do you know what I mean? And yes, just play everyone in their positions. Sod the rotation. Sod the giving players chances. Everyone's had their chances. I think a lot of the minds made up on a lot of the players. If Gini's off, then I'm of the opinion Gini shouldn't play any games now. This is the one decision that he's going to have to make. I know he didn't do with Emre Can when Emre Can was off, but I genuinely think, if Gini's still not going to commit to this new contract, then I genuinely think play Fabinho and Thiago as long as you can. And I think Shawnee said, and play the four of them and attack every game like it's a final. Old, you know, the original Jurgen Klopp when he first came to the team, just attack. Just that. Do you remember that mad Norwich game? Shit like that. Honestly, lads.
Embrace the madness.
Embrace the madness for the last 8-9 games and see where it takes us. And that includes on Wednesday.
But you'd have to ask yourself, like, I get where you're coming from, but you have to ask yourself if these players have it in them. And I don't mean that in a way of, you know, oh, have they got the bottle for it? Have they got the foie for it? Have they physically got it in them to go and do what you think they should do? Now, no. I'm not against what you're saying. I think make it just like a mental game and see what happens nine times. And you know, you may come out with more points than you would if you approach it the way we're currently approaching it. But when I look at last night in particular, like after Saturday where they were, there was so much energy in them, and I said it to the lads after. They looked like they'd spent time together and got into a rhythm and knew each other and knew where passes were going to go and little one touches here and there with each other, and where, you know, they knew where everyone was going to be at all times. Whereas last night it just seemed to be low on energy, and even if they wanted to press, they couldn't. So I don't know if they can actually make that happen for nine games, if you understand me. I'm sorry, lads. I think it's going to be much of the same. But I do agree with Grizz. I play the four of them, and I constantly play the four of them. And I put two in midfield, and I just put Firmino in front of them. And I'd let Salah, Jota, and Mane just do what they fucking like. Go and play where you like. Once there's one on the left, one on the right, and one in the middle, we don't care who it is, because they're all fairly adept in all those positions. And mix it up. And, you know, you never know what'll happen. You keep a little bit of structure, of course. You have to do something a little bit different.
Sorry, very quickly, Jamie, sorry, before you want to move on. Kevin made a very good point about we're so easy to play against recently. And that's my biggest gripe. We were the nastiest team to play against last season.
It hurts to see that.
We were, yeah. Jamie. We were fucking nasty to play against. We had it all. We could beat you in any style. Now, I know Madrid's ball retention was outstanding because they've got that three has played for years together. They knew each other inside out. Fucking hell. It was like, you know, they were having their own five-a-side game in the middle of a European quarterfinal there, right? It was magnificent to watch. But if you analyze the actual goals, they weren't amazing, technically crafted goals. Again, if you analyze the goal against Fulham, the Fulham goals against us, the Chelsea goals against us, they were just simple diagonal balls into the right side of our right channel. The reason why I think I'm saying it anyway, I don't know about you guys, but the reason why I say go mad, at least make it uncomfortable. Give them something that they haven't seen before. They've seen our 4-3-3 to death. Every team, every coach, every player knows our system the back of their hand, because we were the most watched team. We were the most.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive. Are you thinking more about how to tighten up your budget these days? Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average, and customers can qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up. A little off your rate each month goes a long way. Get a quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed in 2020. Potential savings will vary. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations.
Analyzed team, we were the most written about team. Now fucking cause mayhem on them, go mad on them, and see if they can handle it. And it will also show us something about next season, how we can approach certain games.
Now, Kev, I'm going to bring in Dave, our next viewer from the Discord group. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Okay.
Great to chat. Cheers, to you, and lads. Put a face to the name. Look after yourself.
Well, cheers, Kev.
Thank you. Take care, lads. Good luck. Bye.
All the best. I'm going to bring in Dave. Dave, how are you, mate? Thanks for joining us.
Not bad. How are you, lads?
Good, good. How are you after last night? Have you got a question for the lads?
Yeah, up and down after last night. Takes a while to get over these kind of results. Question I want to say to lads is, how do you think we go forward from now? Whether we get top four or we don't, what do you think we'll go into next season? Do you think we'll be as strong as the season before, or weaker or stronger?
Shawnee, if I come to you on this one, because I suppose top four, and it's a great question, you know, so much hinges on top four. You know, if we do miss out and it's Europa League football, what does that mean for transfer plans? How do you see it kind of panning out?
Being honest, I don't think it affects transfer strategy that much. That doesn't really worry me at all, to be honest with you. Because I think, look, if we'd have finished in Europa League football last year, we could have still got someone like a Jota. I still think there's plenty of talent there available that we'll be able to bring in to improve the squad. But I think the biggest thing going into next year, well, hopefully, ready for next season, will just be having the players back that we've missed. Having Van Dijk there, having a Gomez there, having a Henderson ready, having Thiago settled in, ready to play in the system that he was brought in to play. We look a completely different outfit from the offset. And that's just as simple as that. No matter who we bring in or don't bring in. Now, don't get me wrong, I do think that we need we do need business done, especially with AFCON coming up in January, because we will need a squad to combat that when players do go off. Because look, next year, we shouldn't be turning around saying we finished in the Europa League spots last year. Let's just get back into the Champions League. We should be challenging next year. There's no doubt about it. This team fully fit. We should be challenging next year, because the biggest gripe is we didn't even get a fucking chance to defend that title this year, because it was just ripped away from us through unfortunate circumstances such as injury and other like and the likes. So Europa League football, I don't think it impacts the transfer strategy that much, because I do think they will have a long list of players who will want to. And look, to be honest with you, if you're going to have players who are turning around saying, I don't want to play if you don't have Champions League, well, then that's not the type of fucking character you want around the squad anyway. In terms of players wanting out, I don't think so. I still think that the lads there will have enough pride to stick around and want to right the wrong of this season. So I'm not worried in that aspect, but we should be challenging for the league title next year. Make no bounds about it. Champions League, Europa League, it doesn't make a difference to me. We should be challenging.
Where do you sit on it, Gav?
It'll make a difference to the books and the balance sheets. Europa League and Champions League, there's no doubt about that. The money you get for being the Champions League sponsors, your own sponsors, and then of course the money for being in the competition itself. The Champions League is a lot more money than the Europa League. But I agree with Shawnee. I don't think it changes our transfer strategy. And this is what I've been trying to get at for ages about FSG. And this is why this summer, they will have to, and I keep saying it, they'll have to step away from their normal way of doing business, which is looking at what we get in, using that and putting a few quid to it. And now we have done, we know all the signings we've done, right? And oh, we've done this. Yeah, I get that. But they're very good at managing that money. I think they're going to have to be a little bit better at going above what they usually do, All right. If you end up in Europa League, but Shawnee's right. If players don't want to play for Liverpool Football Club because they might have to spend 9 months playing in the Europa League, well, you don't want them. And Klopp said that. He has said that. He said, look, if you don't want to play for me, if you want to leave because it's Europa League, go. If you don't want to join me because it's Europa League, absolutely fine. We'll move on. And he's made that perfectly clear. And I people see that and go, oh, fair play to Klopp. But there's a lot to it when he says that. There's a lot to it. He's speaking to players at the club, and he's speaking to players that they may be looking at or may have contacted with regards to transfers already. And there's always something. There's always foundation to when he says something like that. But this summer, if it's Champions League, it's grand. If it's Europa League, I think it may stop us from getting that megastar that people think we might get. But like Shawnee says, they've a list of players, you know, for every position, and they're going to plan it regardless. The only thing that'll stop it is players just saying, I don't want to play because Europa League. But it'll be one season in it, because I'm very confident that Liverpool will come back next season with the likes of Van Dijk and Gomez back. And, you know, not only that, players just getting back and having a more reliable squad. My worry is the reliability of some players that are still in that squad and could hamper us again next season, but that's for another day. But going into next season, as I said before, if you stand that squad up fit and ready to go in August, I'm happy. But I think there'll be more additions, and I think I'll be even happier than the squad we have now.
Dave, before we let you go, mate, we'll throw the question back at you. How do you see it panning out? If you're a betting man, do you think we make top four?
I'm always pretty optimistic. Especially this team is—they never fail to amaze you. This year, 1 week they play amazing, then the next week it's a bit like chalk and cheese. Like, I do think they will get top four. I think we've got a nice wee run, and if we can freshen it up a bit with different, go with the front four as Shawnee said, I don't think we'll have much of an issue.
I love the positivity, mate. What a way to wrap it up.
Definitely Andy's, mate.
Look at this. Coming on in a Liverpool jersey, telling us we're definitely making top four. I like it. You could definitely come on again, mate.
Bring some positivity to this.
Absolutely. I love it. Thanks for coming on, buddy. We'll chat to you again soon. All the best.
See you later, Dave.
There you know.
I have a bit of news there for the chat, in case you're getting your hopes up. It looks like Mbappe is about to sign a new contract with PSG.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonardo just came out and there said that you'll have news on both him and Neymar very soon. That's going to make people happy. So you'll probably put that one to bed.
Oh, that's you fucked, Chris.
Interesting.
What's your reaction, Grizz?
Get top four first, then we talk. It was all based on top four. The question didn't come to me, so I didn't get a chance to say it. But yeah, it's all about getting top four. It's all about getting top four, and then we can talk. The budget won't change. The players, exactly what Gav said. I have to reiterate. The players, it's all about players. If players, there are players out there that just won't want to play in the Europa League. Even if it's one season, it means too much for their sponsorship, for their, you know, for their image. There will be people like that. But in terms of budget, I genuinely don't think it will affect our budget going into this summer. It's going to be an interesting summer for sure.
Now, I want to come on to a player that we've mentioned in passing, but I want to go into it in a little bit more detail, and it's probably linked to the ideas of potentially bringing in attackers. And I'm going to come to you on this one, Shawnee. Do we need to start having a conversation around Sadio Mane?
Absolutely. If it was Mo Salah, we'd definitely be having the conversation, and we've had the Bobby Firmino conversation already. Mane just hasn't been anywhere near his levels for the past 6 months now. We spoke about this as well the other night on the Fatback 4. COVID is wreaking havoc with some players more than others. Some are just getting over it. Others are just breezing through it. And then it's long COVID is ripping others apart. So I don't know. He looks shattered. He looks in desperate need of a rest. I read today that Mane, Trent, Genie, Salah, they've all played a ridiculous amount of football in the last however long, in the last calendar year. And it just so happens to be that they're the ones breathing out their arses at the minute. And not necessarily Salah, because Salah is like made of granite. You only have to look at the fella and the way he carries himself. They look burnt out and they look tired. And there does seem to be aspects of the physicality just failing them at the moment, just not being able to do it. Grizz, like Grizz says, does he warrant his place in the 11? Maybe not. Are we just going to leave him in there? The fact we know how good he can be, don't think we should be that naive. Maybe he just needs time out. But to be honest with you, do we even have the opportunity to leave him out? I don't think we do, because we need results and you need your best players on the pitch. So, look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would openly sell either of the front three to fund the big one in the summer. I do think we need a refresh in that regard. And I would openly sell either of them. If the bit right money came in for Salah, I'd let him go. If the right money came in for Mane, I'd let him go. If a good bit came in for Firmino, I'd let him go. I just do think that in times in football, you've got to be ruthless and you've got to get about sentiment. You've just got to forget about it. It needs to happen.
Gav, I'll come to you because after the news of Mbappe potentially signing a new deal, I suppose all roads were leading to him being that potential superstar.
I've just checked it out. What's the sporting director said is the situation should be quickly resolved and be clearer. We're going to focus on the present right now. So that's the exact quote. So make of that what you go.
Hold on, I'll read out the other one as well where he says, I think we'll have some news that will make us all happy soon.
Oh, okay. I haven't read that quote. Plenty of quotes.
Unless they're all Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
You never know. So, Gav, I was going to come to you, and after the news potentially of it not being Mbappe, you know, if we do look to break up the famed front three, now front four, and bring in somebody else, who would your attention turn to if Mbappe is off the cards? Because, you know, it's all well and good saying, you know, yeah, we need to strengthen, but it's availability of other players. Who would be at the front of your mind?
It's always my thinking that the front three and Jota stay as they are. There's no doubt you have to have a conversation about Sadio Mane. I don't think his form has been good enough this season. Firmino as well. And that's fine. But I'm always intrigued, though, that he keeps playing. And we always go on about how much data do you have on players, how much, you know, they know how many times they take a breath during the game. And I find it hard to believe that, you know, if his energy is so low and he's so down that they keep putting him on there. That's a bit of a weird one for me. Now, they may be, I don't think they are, but they might be. I think it's just a case of form. I think it's a case. I know where Shawnee's coming from with regards to, you know, we spoke about this on Sunday, people we know that have got COVID and, you know, breeze through. Some other people, months later, they're literally breathing heavy when they walk up a flight of stairs. So there's definitely
that's me now. I'm 36 now, Gav. Yeah, that's just called that, being 36.
That's me as well, especially after Easter Sunday. There was eggs everywhere. But what I'm saying is, like, when I look at that, there might be something in the whole fatigue thing and all. And I get that he's played a lot of football, Manny. But I think it's confidence as well. Even the way he takes the ball, his touch, it just seems that there's a lot of confidence gone. And maybe they're trying to just walk him through it. With regards to the summer, listen, you never know what could happen with Salah or Mane or Firmino or whatever. But I think if it was me, I'd like to keep the three of them. Because as Grizz said, they're going to want to right this wrong. You know, and regardless of what happens at the end of the season, even if they make top four, they'll still feel like, oh, that wasn't right. We have to go and have another go. Jota added in there. I think Origi leaves. You know, Mbappe is the name on everyone's lips. And you know, the whole LeBron stuff and Nike and all sorts in Liverpool. Supposedly, if they got a sniff, they might have a look at it. The other one I turn back to, that seems to be going under the radar massively as we approach this, the end
Sancho. Of the season,
is Jadon Sancho. Yeah. I think, you know, he was all the talk. Remember, he was imminent to sign for United for about 6 months, and never signed for them. And when I look at him and I look at the players we have at the moment, and I look at where Salah might end up with regards to position on the pitch, I think Sancho is going massively under the radar. The other one, of course, is Daka, that's having a fantastic season and is a young player that with a lot of ability. But I think if you're not doing Mbappe and you're not doing Haaland, I think the next one down is probably Sancho for me.
Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot now. So we've talked about potentially players coming in, and one of the storylines that's coming off the back of last night's performance is around Naby Keita. It wasn't his best night by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's fair to say that the manager probably didn't do him any favors by throwing him in cold. Albeit he's saying he's performed well in training, but it's one hell of a difference playing well in training and then stepping up to playing Madrid with no games in your legs. But look, he was very poor. He didn't seem to carry out the instructions and what was expected of him. Do you think that this could be Naby's last season, and do you think it's time that we potentially look to cash in on him? Put you on the spot there now.
Yeah. Personally, being the ex-manager of El Nino of the Barkingham District League, I would have sold him for a bucket of KFC. Right? But that's not I would have swapped it. If someone said, look, Grizz, I'll send you over a KFC, bucket of KFC. I'll say, yeah, Naby, pack your bag, son. Off you go. You're not playing in Hackney Marshes anymore. Can't play in Lloyd's Park, which is, if people know East London, it's another part of the area. But look, I can't see us getting rid, Jamie.
Either can I.
And the reason for that is not because we may believe in him. It's the fact of the numbers that we have to do this summer. Because if Gini is leaving, as it very looks like is happening, Milner's another year older. You know, are we really going to play much in central midfield next season? I hope to God not. Grojic is not going. Jones is still a young player. Who's the other one? Ox, absolute useless. There's no faith in Ox at all from Jurgen Klopp, and we're going to start accepting offers. I don't know why we didn't accept offers lot in the summer, but we've got no choice but to. There's just too much to do, Jamie, in other areas of the pitch. You'd end up having to sort of two centre-backs, possibly a reserve keeper, unless you keep Adrian. There's too much to do. And that's the reason why I don't think Naby is going to go. Otherwise, he deserves to go, and I'm going to say it. He deserves to go. And that's not based on pure lack of ability. He's got the ability to be a Liverpool player, but sometimes it just doesn't work out for talented players. He won't be the first talented player that hasn't a move that hasn't worked out. Do you remember Verona United? Shit happens. Yeah. You know, for us, Aquilani, what a talent he was. Didn't work out for us. Aquilani was a very sought after midfielder, you know,
Christian Ziege.
When we bought him. Christian Ziege came as a World Cup winner, German superstar. You know, it doesn't work out. And I think, you know, for Naby's sake, for maybe Klopp's sake, because Klopp is a very loyal man. He's a very loyal human being. And even, you know, I think even his selection yesterday was scrambled thinking. like going back to, I don't want to go back to it, but just touching upon it, you know, he's so loyal to this kid. I think I would 100% move him on. I think the club aren't in a position to move him on unless we get an outstanding offer. Do you guys see an outstanding offer for Naby Keita? That's the problem. We're not in a summer where we're going to get anything remotely what we paid for him. Well, even half of what we paid for him. So I don't think we get rid of him.
There's a bang of Leicester off Naby Keita. He just seems like a Leicester, a Rodgers type player. But I think you're right, Grizz. I think it's a difficult one. I just feel, and I'll come to you on this one, Gav. I feel like we've been having the same conversation for three seasons now. And you can probably count on one hand the games where he's had a huge impact and he's lived up to his undoubted potential. But most of the time, we seem to be talking about the fact that he's either unavailable or not delivering.
Yeah, and Kieran Thorne says they're out of Naby and Ox stays because everyone's forgetting the homegrown quality. And that's a fair point as well. You know, Naby Keita, it's availability. It's as simple as that. I don't think he plays badly when he plays for Liverpool. I genuinely don't. I think he was poor last night. There's no doubt about that. When I've watched Naby Keita, I think, yeah, neat, tidy, can go buy a player. You know.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive. Have you tried the Name Your Price tool yet? It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to find a rate that works for you. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive. Get your quote today at Progressive.com and see why 4 out of 5 new auto customers recommend Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presses really, really well. Like, you know, that's why, like, if we're talking like 4-2-3-1, I'd love to see him probably in the most advanced midfielder and like a 10 and let him press and press. But it's just availability. It really is. And I agree with Grizz. I don't think he will be sold. Now, people would say we won't get what we want from, you know, stuff like that. But you have to remember, Naby Keita, if he goes through this summer, he's only 2 years left in his deal. He's 2 years left. So then you're getting down to a year. So who's going to pay for him? You know what I mean? The argument that you won't get the money now is a bit of a null and void one because you're not going to get it next season. Especially if he doesn't perform and he's down to a year, people are going to go, "Ah, let him stay there and he might show something and then we might take him on a free." I agree with Grizz, though. I don't think he'd be sold because I think Wijnaldum will go, unfortunately, in my opinion. I think it's very, very unfortunate that he leaves on a footballing basis.
I'm not anymore, Gav. I've changed my mind. I'm not with you anymore.
Well, but you change your mind all the time. So
I studied all night.
Well, you didn't. You've a few quotes to study tonight as well, brother. But what I'm saying is, it's unfortunate, in my opinion, on Gino Wijnaldum, right? He's not shipping three because I think Ox will go, despite what Kieran Thorne says there. I think Ox will go.
100%.
I don't think he does Keita. I don't think he ships three out of midfield.
I think that homegrown quota situation this summer, you clean it up. It's been lingering a little bit, but I reckon that's something that they will clean up.
100% they will.
Look what Grace said. Whatever about what we think, I just think at this moment in time, it's best for all parties involved for a move to happen here because Keita is just stuck there at Liverpool, and he's been available for a few weeks and not played many minutes, even though he got fucked in last night. A move probably benefits him more than it benefits us, to be honest with you, because we're the ones that are going to have to replace him. He needs to play ball. Like we said, absolutely no doubt in his talent, but he's not available enough, and that's the worst part. We haven't been, same with Chamberlain. There's absolutely no point being the best in the world in your position if you're only going to be available 10% of the time. And 10% of the time is when we need you in there and you're not fucking around. It's useless. Absolutely useless. There's too many players in the squad like that at the moment. That's hamstrung us over the long term. With Ox, with Keita, like others. There's so many players there. For me, he's way down the pecking order, especially after the emergence of Curtis Jones this year and whoever we might bring in this year. To lose Keita, Ox and Genie in a summer, the boys are going around the R word, but I'm going to say it. Then you're in rebuild territory.
Yeah, you are.
You want to avoid that because that's probably a year before it's time.
But that's when it starts to look like it's a snap decision, doesn't it? You know, oh, we let out three and we bring in three. Then it starts to look like a snap decision, and then the spotlight is really on you. And if it doesn't go well, you're absolutely hounded. Like, you're hounded by the media anyway as Liverpool Football Club. But if you bring out three midfielders and put three in, it doesn't work. They're going to absolutely, you know, bang you from pillar to post. It's an interesting one. Personally, in midfield, I think it'll be Genie out and one in. And I think Ox, I think, will go. And I think that they might look at an opportunity somewhere in there to bring somebody in. But I think Keita will end up there by default.
Now, there's one topic, and I hummed and hawed about putting this in, and I spoke to Gav before we came on air about including. It's a topic that's important to myself, and I want to come to you on it, Shawnee. You know, it's one thing having opinions on players' performances, but there's one storyline that's come out the back of the game, and that's around Trent and Naby receiving racist abuse online. And to be honest, lads, and as I said, I'll come to you, Shawnee, this is becoming far too frequent now. It's game after game. It's not isolated to one particular club. Man United have had issues. How do we get to the bottom of this, and how do we stop it, Shawnee? Because it's becoming, as I said, far, far too frequent.
I think it starts with the social media outlets, Jamie. There needs to be some sort of law brought in. They need to do something about the way you create a profile, stamping this and linking it intrinsically to whoever that person is, whether it's through a social security number or a passport, some sort of verification, because any fucking idiot can hide behind the keyboard now and dress themselves up as man, woman, child, Liverpool fan, United fan, Chelsea fan, whatever your ethnicity is, whatever your sexual orientation is, you can literally be whoever you want to be now on a social media profile without any sort of drawback. And this is being used as a tool to racially abuse these lads who are out just doing their jobs, are trying to do the jobs, and at the end of the day are human. Just because they're paid enormous large sums of money a week or whatever they earn or whatever they do, at the end of the day, they flick onto their social media profiles and words hurt as much as the next person. And thankfully, I've never ever had to go through anything like that, and I probably never will. But I can't imagine the effect that has mentally on these players, because a lot of them are young lads. You know, that's the thing. A lot of these, what we fail to realise is that Trent is a kid still. He's 21. He's still not yet to become a man. Like, this is the thing. Social media, they're not doing enough. Twitter's your Instagram, they're not doing enough to protect these people. And until they bring out some sort of system where you can only see these people who are verified, and if they do tend to overcross the line, that you can report these people to the relevant authorities, because you're just going to have these fucking keyboard cowards. We see them in the chats sometimes. We see them coming in here in the chats, throwing in slurs about Hillsborough or whatever other disasters, and they can do it freely as they like. Now, it doesn't affect us directly, but there could be someone in the chat who was affected by that disaster. And this is the knock-on effect, Jamie. It's a complete It's a poisonous pit. It's why I'm away from all social media, because anyone can go on there and say whatever they like and get away with it. As it is, that young lad in Ireland was charged for me and Roy. He was traced and tracked. They need to do something about this, because it's just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. The normal man, the normal person is subject to it, not just these footballers. There's nothing we can do about it, because they're like rats. They're just multiplying. You take one away and they just multiply. I don't know what we do. It's up to Twitter and the likes of Instagram to take control of the situation now and make it a legal thing. Make this a law.
Gav, where do you sit on everything?
Exactly where Shawnee sits. And it's not just footballers. You know, it's normal people on Twitter and on Facebook or whatever. I don't do Facebook, but Twitter I'm involved with because of the podcast and stuff like that, to keep an eye on stuff. But it's not only footballers that get targeted for this. It's just random people. Like Shawnee says, your ethnicity, your sexual orientation, whatever it might be, it can be anything, you know. I don't know how we get to the stage where you need to put some sort of identification on it. I think, you know, you look at all the analytics that people have now and the algorithms and stuff like that. I think they could do more to stop it. You know, I think with all the search engines and whatever they have to basically, you know, the way you can block a word on Twitter and stuff like that, they should be able to do more to stop it from happening. But it is the only way to do it. Like, as probably far-fetched as it sounds, if you go to set up an email address, you should have to verify yourself as to who you are. you know. And I'm not asking you to verify yourself every time you go onto some other platform, but you would have to provide a verified email to get onto Twitter, to get onto Facebook, to get onto Instagram, to get onto anywhere, LinkedIn, wherever it might be, right? And that's it. Like, you have to verify yourself when you want to go anywhere. You know what I mean? You get stopped by the police, you have to verify who you are. You know, so it shouldn't make a difference because you're sitting on at a keyboard and doing it. And then you'll see how many there is. Because I have two rules, right? One, how many of these people would say it to you? Very, very little. But actually say it to your face, very, very little. And then when it comes to football stuff, I actually look and go, how many people would you hear say this down in the pub? And very little would say that as well. So the problem is they get entertained. And I don't mean to have a go at people here, but you know when somebody does something like that and you see everyone retweeting and retweeting and retweeting, that's what they want. That's what they want. They don't care how many people hate on them. They don't care how many people have a go.
The words are still on the screen and you still affect these people whether they're not being retweeted or not. Grizz, I followed you on Twitter for the longest and not one of us had mentioned it here. And I've even seen some of the shite that people have said to Grizz. Now, Grizz is rhino skin. Nick, look at Jockey's bollocks. I know that. But at the end of the day, there's people who might not be. You know what I mean? And look, you only have to look at the likes of Caroline Fleck. Words hurt people, some more than others. And it's always going to be that way. And until we do something about it to eradicate it, it's just going to get fucking worse. I'd hate to be raising a child in this generation and hopefully one day, by the time I do get around to it, that this is all sorted out. Because these toxic environments are good for absolutely nobody. All it does is promote cowardice and fucking bullies. And there's one thing I hate in my life, it's a bully. And that's all these people are. Behind little fucking fake profiles, saying what they want to whoever they want without any sort of repercussions. It makes me sick.
And it's
I hope
it's
you don't mind me asking. Oh, go on,
sorry, just quickly. It's funny, like, because, you know, somebody says something to person A, says something to person B, and person B reports it along with a couple of their friends. Person A just has an account suspended or taken away from them. Nothing else. They don't do anything else. You just set up a new email address, go in and start again. You know what I mean? So I think there needs to be some sort of verification. You know, like the big thing on Twitter is, oh, he's verified on Twitter and it's meant to be some sort of, I don't know, Medal of Honor or something. It should be everyone. Everyone. But you see, that'll never happen because that means that less people will be on Twitter and they would make less money out of advertisements and things like that. And it comes down to money. Everything comes down to money. But Shawnee's right. You need to verify something at some stage. Like I run loads of accounts. For the LFC day trippers, like, you know, different accounts for different softwares and everything. I have to verify everything I do. I try to go into some of them and I have to press a button, open my phone, swipe my phone, press a number, come back in. There's about 10 steps to it. But if I want to go onto Twitter and abuse somebody, I can set up any old email address, go in, stick a picture of whoever on my profile and just start go for it until I get caught. And then they just stop that email and start again. You know, so it's one of those where they will put a stop to it, but they won't put a stop to you doing it again. Do you get me? They're just batting it away until it comes back again. So it's one of those, and it's unfortunate to see, but the only advice I would give to people is, if I ever see anything like that involving anyone on this podcast or anyone we know or anyone in general where it comes up across my timeline, I would genuinely just go, first of all, block the person, and second of all, report it. And just keep doing that. I wouldn't retweet it. I never retweet these things. I would just block and report and move on because, trust me, they're getting off on the retweets. They're getting off on the shares, you know, that sort of way, because that's what they're there for, a reaction. And they feel important, but they're not. They're only arseholes, to be perfectly honest with you.
Grizz, I hope you don't mind me asking you this, and you can tell me to piss off if you want. You know, you get a fair bit of stick, like Shawnee says, on social media. And, you know, you've got big shoulders a lot of the time. You know, you can take it. You have a bit of fun with it. You block people. Has it had an effect on you? And you know, if you've ever logged a complaint with Twitter, you know, has anything been done off the back of it?
No, but similar to what Shawnee said about raising your children, because my oldest son's on Twitter now as well, social media. And he's the one I fear for the most. I mean, you know, Shawnee says I've got rhino skin. I've seen proper racist abuse, like face to face, never mind keyboard warriors kind of bullshit. Look, social media, especially Twitter, is once you allow, as Gav says, once you allow anyone apart from our Matt to make an account via just an email, right?
Nicest guy on Twitter, he was.
You're opening your platform to everyone on society, in society. And unfortunately, there is dickheads in every level of society. And when they have the freedom of a platform that gives them a chance to express themselves, unfortunately, they will use it and abuse it. And it doesn't even always have to be racist abuse to get the attention. A lot of these players or a lot of these stars or whatever, it usually starts from normal abuse. When I say normal abuse, I mean just calling someone a whatever, whatever, whatever. But what that does is encourages pylons from the rest of the absolute rats that see this. So the racist abuse is the absolute nasty side of it. But it starts from just basic abuse, guys, and is very difficult to control. I don't know. I'm way, way not smart enough to work out what the way to do it is. But there's definitely smart people that have created this platform that know how to do it. Will they do it? That's a totally different question. There is absolutely ways they know. They are smart, clever businessmen. We're talking billionaires here. And if it's going to affect their financial, financial side of things for them, then that's the hindrance. Because once you open it up, as I said, all sorts of rats from the society will abuse it. You simply just can't stop it just like that. The talk is enough, though. I mean, talk is not enough, though. We keep hearing, oh, we've got to do something. Who was it? Thierry Henry made a public an outcry about it. We need everyone who's got a platform big enough to express their disgust. And that's maybe the only way that the authorities that can do something about it may do something about it.
But another thing is important, Jamie.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's actually Geico.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I think in all walks of life, and I think just like Grizz said, face-to-face racism still exists. Because people aren't educated. We need to educate these people. People need to be educated from a young age how to use these tools. Because look, social media is not all negative. Like there is positive aspects to social media. And when used correctly, it can be good. It could put people in. If it wasn't for social media, I probably wouldn't know any of you lads. That's just the fact of the matter.
You know, Grizz, sure he's famous.
Yeah.
I want to bring this comment up. This guy says, look, think about how I've spoken about Adrian through the Grizz River, and I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say that, yeah, I don't rate him as a player and everything, but find me anywhere on social media, anywhere, Instagram, Snap, Twitter, where I've at a player directly and give him any kind of shit. We all have opinions on players that we don't rate, whatever. And we'll have a laugh about them like I do. Like, oh, fuck off, Adrian. But if you're comparing that to racism or racist abuse, mate, have a word with yourself. Yeah.
That's a reach. That's a reach big time. But it starts with education, and we need the ethics first and foremost. And Twitter don't seem to have any, so I don't know. They have to do some sort of social media passport, or as stupid as it sounds, some sort of social media license. Because to be honest with you, I think most of these people are just mentally retarded who go on like that, and that's just it. It's a depiction in their mind how stupid and how sad in your life be to go on like that. Like I said, I'm off social media because, to be honest with you, I am one of the most... I can explode like that at the little things just wind me up. And when you see stuff going on like that... Like, I could make a profile tomorrow with Eric Cantona as my profile picture. And if United get beaten tomorrow night, I could send whatever slander I want to any of those Manchester United players. And you could turn and say, and then all the United fans get tired with the same rush. Look at this racist shit going on. This is the thing. There's zero accountability. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And that's my major fear. Because you look at that lad from Yeovil, the captain from Yeovil, who killed himself. He was a teammate of one of my good friends and said he was a very reserved fella, a really good footballer, but he was abused online by a section of fans. And in the end, he ended up taking his life. Is it really worth it? It's a game of fucking football at the end of the day. It's a game. It's football. And if your life is so engulfed around football. Now, I do a podcast twice a week in an hour. Football won't be the be-all and end-all of me. I can switch off after a game. I would never, ever, like Chris said, we've all said, like last night, I was saying, what the fuck are you doing, Trent? What the fuck are you doing, Kate? That's natural. I wasn't on his fucking snap on his Instagram butchering him in his comments, and that's what we're getting here. It's horrible, Jamie. I don't know. I don't see a way out of it. Not at the way it is.
Well, BP1984, I left that up there, Jamie, on purpose, right? Because he said, could you imagine the loss of ad revenue if all the UK football fan channels alone boycotted for a week and made it known why? So I presume he's getting that the fan channels boycotting the likes of Twitter, Facebook, all that sort of thing. That's easily done. But like I can tell you, I wouldn't stop doing YouTube shows for a week, because then I'd be depriving the people that support us of watching our shows. You know, we do have moderators that if people come in here and say anything about Hillsborough or, you know, the Bradford Fire or the Ibrox Fire or Heysel or any sort of sporting disaster or tragedy or any tragedy around the world, they're removed from the channel. The moderators are told, there's no banning them for 5 minutes. They just get removed. And that's what we try to do here. And we say it all the time. Air Chat is, in my opinion, one of the most educated on football and actually just having manners that you will actually come across. But if you said to me, don't do anything on social media for a week because every other channel is going to do it, and the reason why is because it's too easy to abuse people online, I'll do it tomorrow. No problem. And I just won't tell anybody about our YouTube channels or our shows, and we do it for a week of that. No problem. Because the people that watch us know what we're on every night. They follow us. They're interested. And you have even less chance of people coming on and being an arsehole. I have no issue doing that. But what happens is, unless everybody does it and everybody sticks to it, it's pointless. It's pointless, and it always will be. And it still comes back to the people that run these platforms. They need to do more to stop anyone to be encouraged to come on and abuse anyone, whether it's the colour of their hair to down to the colour of their skin. They need to be able to turn around and go, just to let you know, this is Mr. Twitter here, and if you do this, you're going to have to get on here and be verified. And if you do it, you will be reported to the nearest police station to where you are. Simple as that. And that's the only way it can be done. It's the only way it can be done.
Rav Deep sends in a super chat saying, you guys are amazing. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much for that. And I'm glad, lads, from my perspective, that we're able to touch on it, because I think the more that it's spoken about, I certainly think it makes things easier and drives more awareness. Kieran also sends in a super chat. For 10 years, I had a persona on Twitter involved with betting. I lived two parallel lives, one that social media showed and one that my actual life was like. It's an evil place now. And I'm glad that Kieran sent that in, because one of the things I wanted to finish on was very much around the website and people contributing and sharing articles. And Kieran actually shared an article this week that we put up on the site talking about his struggles with betting and how, the community that we've built has gone some way to help him, keep him positive. And it's nice to hear that, you know, social media can create those type of connections and give him a boost. So Kieran, top man for sharing the story. Keep fighting the good fight, mate, and we'll always be here for you whenever you need. So lads, we ran a little bit over there. I'm glad that we touched on that topic, because I think it's a topic that's close to all our hearts. Couple of housekeeping bits to call out before we wrap up. As I said, lots of interesting articles that have been coming in. If you do want to get involved, you know, there's no cap on what you can and can't say. If you've got an opinion or story to tell, send it in to lfcdaytrippers@gmail.com and we'll get it up on the website. Discord, if you haven't joined, please do. It's great crack. We're in there every day. The chat is hopping. And as you said, seeing tonight, we've got members of the Discord now joining in on chats. I've really enjoyed tonight putting faces to names. So Gav will put a link to the Discord group in the comment section. And please do join. The other things to call out, subscribers. So we are now past 9K subscribers, which means we are en route to the 10K. When we hit the magical 10K mark, we will be giving away a PS5 and FIFA 21.
And so Grizz is on a bike.
Oh, the best bit. Grizz is on a bike. Is that confirmed? That's official.
100%
now, yeah?
Confirmed. 100%.
You're not getting out of that, no?
No, he's not.
Any quotes going about tonight?
Listen, I've organized that. I've been onto his wife and she said there's no problem. She said, I will happily stand there and video my husband while he does a podcast on an exercise bike. So it's absolutely sorted.
Fantastic. Right. So final thing to shout out, footballprizes.co.uk. If you want to win a Mo Salah signed and framed Liverpool montage with the replica Champions League medal, check out the website, $4.95 to enter, 66 tickets available, and the offer ends next Wednesday. Gav, what have we got coming up for the rest of the week?
Night off tomorrow night. Thank God. We don't get many nights off, but we have a night off tomorrow night. Chris is back on Friday night with the Friday Forecast. He's a special guest on that one as well. We are back on Sunday then with the Fatback Four, and then we're back into a new week. So as Jamie said, Discord group is absolutely flying. The link is in the description. The football prizes stuff is in the description. The website is in the description. And on the website, if you want to write an article, as Jamie said, get in touch. And if you like the website, tell us. If you don't like stuff about it, tell us. If you'd like to see stuff added, tell us. But we're getting towards the back end of the season now. We're starting discussions between ourselves with regards to what we're going to do for next season. Probably more shows. I don't know how we're going to do more, but we're going to do more. And yeah, we're just starting to plan for next season now. So any ideas are welcome. So we can get them all together. We go and have these meetings with Grizz on a bike, and we're talking about what we're going to do next season. So yeah, look, it's another packed week, and we just keep going nearly every night of the week.
Right, that's enough from us. Big thanks, as always, to Gav, Shawnee, Grizz, Kev and Dave for joining us. Also, thank you, everybody in the chat, the Discord group, and anyone that's been supportive of the channel and what we've been doing. It really is appreciated by all of us. With that, I hope you have enjoyed the show. Look after yourselves, stay safe, and we will be back with you next Wednesday on the Midweek Fix. All the best.
Introducing Force Factor Fundamentals. Exclusively at the Vitamin Shop, these men's health essentials have clinically studied ingredients like biopurine for enhanced absorption. Yohimbine, pine bark, and L-arginine can help you strengthen blood flow and heighten passion with doses that may bring you the results you crave. Now you can save 20% on Force Factor, including the Fundamentals, at the Vitamin Shop. Get these men's health game changers in your life at any The Vitamin Shop store or vitaminshop.com.
Attention Social Security and SSI recipients. If you did not receive an economic impact payment for your eligible spouse or dependents, you may need to file a 2020 tax return with the IRS and claim the recovery rebate credit. Go to ssa.gov/EIP to see if you need to file a tax return and if eligible for other refundable tax credits, like the child tax credit. That's ssa.gov/EIP. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Sports Social Podcast Network.